Senator, let me follow up by asking, do you think that the CIA and military intelligence agencies and the FBI have used the emergency provisions, both in law and by emergency agency, the Federal Preparedness Agency it's called now, to have contingency plans which threaten the liberty of American citizens?
Mr. Rowan, in due course, the committee will pass judgment on those questions. I'm not going to pre-guess the committee or prematurely attempt to pass judgment on this program. But let me tell you this. In the need to develop a capacity to know what potential enemies are doing, the United States government has perfected a technological capability that enables us to monitor the messages that go through the air. These messages are between ships at sea. They could be between units, military units in the field. We have a very extensive capability of intercepting messages wherever they may be in the airwaves. Now, that is necessary and important to the United States as we look abroad at enemies or potential enemies. We must know. At the same time, that capability at any time could be turned around on the American people. And no American would have any privacy left, such as the capability to monitor everything, telephone conversations, telegrams, it doesn't matter. There would be no place to hide. If this government ever became a tyranny, if a dictator ever took charge in this country, the technological capacity that the intelligence community has given the government could enable it to impose total tyranny. And there would be no way to fight back, because the most careful effort to combine together in resistance to the government, no matter how privately it was done, is within the reach of the government to know. Such is the capability of this technology. Now, why is this investigation important? I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to see this country ever go across the bridge. I know the capacity that is there to make tyranny total in America. And we must see to it that this agency and all agencies that possess this technology operate within the law and under proper supervision so that we never cross over that abyss. That's the abyss from which there is no return.
All right. Welcome to Freethinker Radio. Frank Church there, taking us way back. I guess that's probably even before total information awareness was a term yet, you know, and he did have that total word in there a few times.
Isn't that a trip, Johnny? They'll be monitoring your telegrams.
Yeah. Smoke signals.
Oh, my God. One thing at a time, I guess.
That was back in the 70s after the Church Committee hearings. Frank Church, for those who don't know, his committee helped reveal some of the things we know about surveillance, the CIA's heart attack dart gun, the infiltration of the media, MKUltra, like so much of what we know about the CIA.
There's a time where that was shocking to some people that power was out there. I think most people assume it now. I mean, it's not just
safe to say we crossed the bridge.
Google has that on it now, right? I mean, we don't have to worry about just the government, you know, or just the shadow government even, you know. There was a little point there where he said something about the intelligence agencies have given the government. And if you got to think about that for a minute, it's hard to know which way that's going, right? Where are these intelligence agencies getting their funding from and authority to do what they do from, you know? But anyway, that's a moot
point. I think to answer what Johnny was just saying there and to answer Frank Church's question or his concern, his warning, I believe, yeah, we crossed that bridge long ago that he was warning about. Again, that's in the 70s, right? I don't see anybody in the mainstream press today, especially not on CNN, CBS, or whatever out there, issuing those kind of stark warnings. You know, maybe if they are, for example, people warning about adverse reactions from the COVID shots, like Senator Ron Johnson we've talked about, holding panels talking about those things, those are being censored. Those aren't being talked about. But 50 years ago, that was in the mainstream. And I think that sort of shows you the transition that we've seen.
50 years from now, maybe someone will be showing one of those things from, you know, that we've talked about here, one of the senators or representatives that have stood up, and people will be like, wow, there was someone that actually mentioned that, you know. And I think that
parted ways with Houston Methodist.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, you cut off there for a second. But yeah, I mean, I think that really, man, it's just crazy that people, I don't know, I worry more, like I hear what you're saying, I worry more though that the future is going to be out my balls instead, you know, Idiocracy, like it's going to be, instead of here's these revelations of what was going on in COVID, it's going to just degrade worse, at least in the mainstream, right, where there's going to be dumb things to distract people like there always have been. It just seems like those things are going to get virtual, like in the metaverse, right, and all this kind of stuff. Wow,
it's I don't want to be virtually distracted, man. I want to be really distracted. If I'm, you know, like not just virtually distracted.
I was weirded out by like how articulate the news reporter was. I was like, they don't sound like that anymore, man. He's like, sounds like he's read books and stuff.
Yeah,
more
definitely
Anchorman vibe. So I guess Idiocracy is kind of appropriate.
That's what I'm saying. I'm worried that it's going to become Idiocracy. Guys, welcome to Freethinker Radio. We started out strong looking at that clip from Frank Church. We're going to be with you for the next 45 minutes or so covering uncensored news and underground music. We'll be playing some music. I'm going to actually play one of my new songs. I released my EP last month, 33, and we've been playing some of the original stuff for you guys here on the show, but there's new versions. I'm going to play that, and then so we'll play some more music we got on the lineup. And get into lots of stories because there's things happening. Let's start in Houston where the show's based.
Tommy brought up books. What's
books?
Do people use books anymore? Like
no, those are for burning. Those are for burning.
I think you're going to that. Maybe there was something to reading a whole bunch of books just as a general population. You know, maybe there was a certain amount of learnedness, for lack of a better word, or ability to use words or converse about things. They were getting rid of some old books at the office today, and it kind of came up, and Johnny bringing it up makes me wonder, you know, people go to YouTube to figure out how to do things and get quick solutions rather than to an instruction manual. And then they watch someone else who maybe did it wrong, you know, who knows?
Yeah. And the freest version of the internet or just free information, right? People have access to all those kinds of knowledge. I think it's never been more important to save hard copy books and to download files to your own, you know, your own devices and things like that. Johnny, let's go ahead and jump into the news. I know you had something in Houston. I mean, this is, I like when I see Houston on the map for doctors speaking out. I don't like seeing them firing nurses, but this is actually the same hospital, right?
Well, they recently fired like 150 people, or I guess, I'm not sure how they did it. If it was like resigned, technically made them resign themselves because they're still playing that game, but, or if they actually fired them, but yeah, we have here this KHOU 11 saying, like, I'm personally offended by her behavior. Houston Methodist CEO says after doctor commits comments on treatment of unvaccinated. Dr. Mary Bowen says she was trying to make a point about how unvaccinated patients are treated differently, so she was suspended. I mean, we hear it all the time. Like, you know, she was getting in trouble for really speaking out on Twitter, I suppose. The real thing is she was treating one of her patients with ivermectin and also kind of like advertising unvaccinated patients to come through. So essentially it's a lot of like kind of the stuff that Derek and other people talk about for solutions, you know, like you work with who you want to work with. So essentially they saw she was doing that and promoting that, and people were pretty upset by it. And it was a national story, like the Washington Press picked it up and stuff. So said, according to her Twitter account, Bowden has openly promoted the use of ivermectin, a drug used to kill parasites in animals and humans as a COVID treatment for some patients. This is off the Washington Post, so of course they're going to add that in there. Ivermectin might not be as deadly as everyone said it was. Bowden tweeted on November 10th, speak up. Neither the F, you know, like how crazy like is that? Like she didn't even necessarily...
That's scary stuff there, man.
Claim there. Like, ivermectin might not be as deadly as everyone says it was. Speak up. Like, that's like their big, like, article, their big, like, mic drop there. Like
they said it was vulgar and foul language.
How dare you use an exclamation point. I don't know. Maybe she had, like, a F-bomb in a comment or something.
I can't effing believe this.
But yeah, so people are just pissed. And then, but no, there's actually someone like, what is it? So Mitt B. Bowden's attorney said the doctor combines. Oh, sorry, not this part. So basically, one of the family members of or one of the people being treated is a Jason Jones. And he's a Tarrant County sheriff and or a deputy. And he's been hospitalized with COVID for over a month. And his wife is suing the hospital, demanding that Bowden be granted temporary privileges to prescribe and administer the drug to her husband. So, you know, it really is just kind of coming down to like, her, like, you know, you can't just let this lady do whatever she wants. She also has like, I'm pretty sure she's relatively independent from what it sounds like, because they said she never treated a patient at their hospital. So I'm pretty sure she's like kind of like, you know, in a one of those like strip center. Like,
she had her own private practice. It's called Breathe MD. She's got like her own thing going on. And yeah, basically she just started to speak out. I'm looking at her Twitter for those who are watching online. And there's this other commentator saying, when Houston Methodist temporarily suspended Dr. Bowden's privileges, it did so by calling a reporter at the Houston Chronicle. She only found out when the reporter called her for comment. Look, see here. And she even released the text message.
Sure.
Hi, Dr. Bowden. I've been told you've been suspended from Houston Methodist pending further investigation because of your comments. I plan to report this afternoon. I wanted to give you an opportunity to comment. No news to me. I've not received any notification. Who told you that? A source at the hospital informed me, but I will clarify. Yes, please do. So think about that. That's the way she found. And yeah, they basically did push her to resigning because, as you said, Johnny, they're smearing her for promoting ivermectin. They're smearing her for saying she would only treat unvaccinated patients. And, you know, she's been, as this tweet shows here, I've broken free from Methodist and very much appreciate the flood of support I've received. Sincere thanks to all of you who have reached out with kind words. So she is an ear, nose, and throat doctor and does sleep medicine and stuff like that. So maybe some feel like it's not her place to comment, but as a doctor, you know, she's giving her advice and some people are choosing to listen, and that's that. But apparently, you know, as a doctor at a hospital, you're not allowed to have opinions that don't coincide with those, you know, those policies. I've also been told, man, by some people in Houston, some other nurses, that they have been similarly told, like, they would be fired if they helped administer, ivermectin to anybody, right? And like you said, there's a story up in Tarrant County where that dude is like a freaking cop who's on arrest, like on, got the tube in his throat, dude. He's like, on, you know, not doing very well. And the court said he can be given ivermectin, and they tried to come administer it, and they call the cops to stop him, to prevent him. And like, his family took pictures showing how they put a blanket over him so they couldn't put any medicine in his feeding tube or whatever. Like, it's just so crazy how desperate they are to keep people from trying anything other than the shot. Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, any other thoughts on that before we move forward? I want to talk some more about.
I don't know, man.
I guess there's like a little bit of a thought
just
of
some sad news.
What's it even mean to get a medical degree? You know, if you don't go along with the collective, if you don't go along with the group, if you, I mean, where's, you know, at a certain point, this becomes, you know, everything, you know, the Dark Ages was, instead of, you know, enlightenment and advancing sciences, you know. So I, you know, separate from whatever's really going on, I think there's something to ask about, what is getting a degree like this? What does getting one of these professional medical science degrees mean if you can't open your own practice? It's another one of those things, like we've talked about for years, like, what's it mean if you as a patient can't just make a deal with your doctor? Now all these government agencies and insurance and all this stuff gets in between you just going to this doctor, someone who's been trained in medical science. So basically, they're not allowing an individual to exist in a way. You see what I'm saying here? An individual thought, an individual practice, an individual point of view. There, you know, it's not allowed to exist. And I don't know about ivermectin. I don't know. I think there's a point where it'd be pretty bad. That's just, I know this isn't the same, but there's got to be a line, right? There's got to be a point where there's a doctor doing something horrible that the medical establishment says, hey, you know, we don't want anything to do with this doctor. I'm not saying this doctor is that, but I think all three of us would think there's something like that that wouldn't be too bad to have heard, like, doctors say they don't want the one who's injecting gasoline into the patients working at the hospital anymore. We'd go, God, I don't want him working on me. So my point is, there's a line, but I'm not sure this is that line, you know? Like, I don't know. I think that's the biggest question I have is, what's it mean to get any training or degree if you can't do as your training and degree and your own insights show you?
Yeah, that's a good point, Micah. I want to throw out a reminder to everybody who's watching us on Facebook, encourage you to check us out over at float.app/consciousresistance. We're also live at dlive.tv/consciousresistance. And shout out to those watching over on Odyssey. We've just started streaming via Odyssey, and we'll be adding Rockfin. So we're thankful to everybody who listens and watches wherever you watch. And if you watch on Spotify or listen on Spotify, we appreciate that as well. We have one comment over on Odyssey saying that you're hard-pressed to even get ivermectin for your horses now. Farm supply stores aren't even stocking it. So that's kind of interesting.
That's just weird, man.
All of a sudden, there's they don't want you to have access. You know?
You mean horse medicine?
Yeah. Well, I want to continue now with an update on a story I've been covering for the last few months, pretty much since it happened, and that is the death of a friend, Johnny Hurley, who has been, I think rightfully so, described as a hero, the hero of Arvada, Colorado, just outside of Denver. You know, for those who've been following Freethinker Radio before our break and since, we've talked about Johnny's story. Basically, he, I think, was truly a hero in the most, you know, direct sense of that, the meaning of that word. He was an activist with We Are Change Colorado, a chef, you know, an advocate, a musician, just a really cool guy, and an advocate for psychedelics and for plant medicine and all kinds of different things. And on the day of his death, he witnessed or heard a shooting happen. There was a mass shooter. His name was, oh, it's the gunman's name. I don't even know if they have his name here. But the officer who was killed by this gunman was Gordon Beasley in Old Town Arvada in June. And Johnny Hurley witnessed this, or witnessed it from a distance, heard the shooting. And then, you know, he was a concealed licensed gun carrier, and he ran into action, and he did kill the potential mass shooter and stop any other people from being harmed. And then ultimately he was killed. We still don't know the full details. We know that an officer came upon the situation. They claimed that they saw Johnny picking up the other guy's gun. We don't know that because we haven't seen any evidence of that. And they shot and killed him. And there have been some anonymous sources and witnesses that have talked to myself, as well as other, I don't want to say who else, but have shared that they witnessed something much different than what we've been told by the story, that Johnny was shot and the cop that was there was angry because they thought he was the killer, and they essentially let him bleed out. And we believe that's why they're not releasing it. So most importantly, though, I want to say that tomorrow, Thursday, so we'll be getting this out as soon as possible, but if anybody's in Denver, Colorado area and wants to come support Friends of Johnny Hurley, is what it's, you know, what the community is being called. They're planning a rally Thursday following the news that the officer who shot and killed him won't face charges, as well as the fact that they released some videos through Freedom of Information Act requests that we'll show you in just a moment, but they ultimately did not release the video showing him being killed. And our friend and hip-hop performer Elias Clay, who was friends with Johnny, said, quote, "With the time that it's taken to conclude the investigation and release the footage, it's been kind of in this grieving process. So a lot of us are, we're coming together. We're coming together as a community to mourn his death." And so that's tomorrow at the Jefferson County DA's office, Thursday, 2 p.m. if you're in the Arvada area. And I also want to say, I think probably happening right now, there's this online forum taking place, and in-person forum, where they're actually going to take questions about Johnny's death. And I know a lot of the activists are going to be there trying to question them and say, hey, why has the footage not been released yet? And I do want to show, just for the viewing audience, a little bit of these clips. This is taken from our friend Ford Fisher at News to Share. You can find him on Odyssey and YouTube and all those places. But he filed open records requests and received about an hour and 40 minutes worth of footage, including showing the shooter taking out the cop and then showing Johnny coming to the rescue. And this is just the part I want to play. This, the clip, for those who can see, you'll see Johnny in the red shirt in a Navy surplus store nearby. This is from the camera taken from there, hearing the shooting and then running across the park and hiding near a trash can and then shooting and killing the man who killed the cop. And then after that, we don't see what happened to him. But I just want to play this clip real quick. There's no sound, so just watch. And if you guys want to say anything, feel free. But that's Johnny right there in the red. And you see him immediately kind of grabbing his gun out and running towards it. You can see him there at the top of the screen running, hiding behind the trees across the park. This is after the shooter has already come up behind the cop, and I think he shot him with a shotgun two times. You see the cop laying on the ground in the middle of the screen there by the tree. You see Johnny coming up to the wall and looking around. And this is at this point. There's another video from the other angle where the shooter is back in his truck reloading or getting some more guns, and then Johnny sees him coming, and you can see he's anticipating him here. You can definitely see he was trained and he knows what he's doing. And here he goes. He's going to take a couple shots, and one, you see the smoke come off, one, two, right there, two shots, maybe I think a third one. And that was it. He stopped it right there. He's a hero right there in that moment. Should be alive, should be celebrated for that. Instead, due to circumstances that we don't know, another officer came upon him and they ended up shooting and killing him. And I haven't watched the full hour and 40 minutes video yet. They do have police body camera in here and you can kind of see the scene afterwards. I think it's worth watching that the cops are clearly just standing around. So if Johnny had been shot fatally and was wounded, while he's bleeding out, they're yelling like, you know, stay down, stay down. You can see the body of the killer right here that Johnny shot. So, yeah, I just wanted to take a moment to, for one, really encourage anybody who's in the Denver area to go out there to the Jefferson County DA's office tomorrow at 2 p.m. Support his friends and his family who are, you know, have a lot of questions and are still looking for answers. And even if you're not there, you can call the Jefferson County DA's office. Look it up. Arvada County, Arvada, Colorado, Jefferson County DA's office. Give them a call. Tell them we need to see what happened to Johnny Hurley. We need to know how he died. His family needs that. The community needs that. We need to know exactly what happened because, unfortunately, this is something that's happened. We know about the Tuttle's case in Houston. I don't think any of us believe we ever fully got the truth about that case. And there's so many of these. So I think what makes this unique, and again, why I don't think the media has really picked this up, they're obsessing over Kyle Rittenhouse right now and that whole thing. Well, here's a man who is a licensed gun carrier, stopped a potential mass shooting, but also stopped the cop killer. Like, that should be something that the media wants to celebrate and put out there, right? And really herald, but I don't think it fits into their narrative about guns are bad and you shouldn't have guns and this and that, because this he didn't act like a fool and go on a rampage. Johnny clearly, you could tell by the way he was holding his body and holding the gun that he was trained and he knew what he was doing, right? And so unfortunately we don't really see this blasted out, but I want to do my part to send it out there. And yeah, thank you to Bruce and the guys and girls from We Are Change Colorado who are keeping this story alive. I shout out to Johnny, wherever you are, man. You really are a hero. Just watching that footage just kind of brought me to tears. Like, damn, he didn't even, I want to believe that I would be that courageous, you know, in those kind of moments. And it's hard to really know. And he just, you know, he didn't hesitate one second, just went out into it and it cost him his life. And unless you guys have some thoughts, we'll take a music break.
That's a tough one, man. I mean, he really is a hero.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks, man.
The weirdest thing is, like, we saw the video from the beginning and it did look like that guy was about to go back and do more damage. Like, just like the way he was walking, got some more guns. Like, I don't know. It's freaky.
He went and reloaded.
Right. You know? A lot of us like to think of ourselves as the type of person who would make that decision. But like at the end of the day, it's a really rare kind of person who would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to get coverage of anything like that because, as you said, you know, at first when you were saying you think they'd want to cover it, I'm like, why would they want to cover it? And then you immediately, you know, turn to it goes against the narrative. Of course they don't want to cover it, you know. And, of course, things like this are going to happen because there's just so much momentum and everybody being afraid. And, you know, if someone has a gun, you need to be afraid of them. Never mind that he just stopped someone who murdered a cop, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's just part of the knee-jerk reaction, right? We've seen it a lot of times. And I don't think it's just this issue, but in this issue, it's particularly clear what happens when this one view is so dominant, this one, you know, presupposition that everybody with a gun outside of law enforcement is dangerous. It ends up with this. And here was somebody, like the real police officers, the real people that are just police officers. I'm not talking about corrupt cops or anything like that, or even the politician cops. I'm just talking about the guy with the job who's a cop. And maybe some people don't think that guy exists, but let's just imagine for a minute that he did. I don't think those people want that guy dead, you know, but they are so trained also in that whole knee-jerk reaction that this is what happens. So people are getting what most people wouldn't want to have happen. And I don't think it's just this case, but or just this sort of theme. But this is what happens when we believe we know something already, you know. And we may never find out, you know. Yeah. Those cops that showed up and they thought he was the shooter, you know, thought he killed their buddy, you know, whatever. They thought they knew what had happened, you know. The guy who shot him thought he knew, you know. I heard the phrase "guns make us dumb." You think you know what's happening until you run up and you shoot someone, you know. It could be just anything. So anyway, I think that this points to like our whole societal presuppositions, and that's why we'll never see it because it questions them.
Yeah, we're gonna jump to a quick song, guys, real quick. I'm not sure which one this is, Johnny, but it's from the Dead Rabbits. So we'll be right back. Freethinker Radio, please stay tuned.
Freethinker Radio.
right, let's continue on, guys. We got some news to dive into related to COVID. Micah, you pulled this one up about the sailors, and you came from the Navy. Tell us all about this.
I was going to say, you know, people expect this sort of stuff, right? They say, oh, you went in the military, you don't own your body, you got to follow orders, this sort of stuff, right? So, you know, in a way, this is just more of the same on that. But in another way, it's this whole new, you know, COVID thing, right? Where all of a sudden this vaccine, I guess now that it's been approved, it's looked at a little differently, as we were saying. But yeah, for basically active duty people, not just in the Navy, but this article focuses on the Navy. It's Navy Times, after all. I thought some of the language in it was interesting. They still called it getting the jab and all this sort of stuff. But yeah, in the long run, the summary is that their life is going to be made more and more unpleasant. They are, at one point it says frock sailors that refuse to get vaccinated should be unfrocked as soon as possible, basically deranked. And that things that they want, like educational opportunities and off time, should be curbed. And basically less and less privileges until ultimately landing in a not honorable, but a general discharge. So, yeah, they're basically routing them out.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. I mean, it's not surprising. Like you said, they already believe they own the bodies of the Navy men and military members generally.
You'd think that they want more people to stay, though.
You know, the thing that gets me here is we see, you know, we're just talking about last episode about the vaccine mandate being questioned on constitutional grounds. We see, and we've talked about that from the get-go on this show, separate from, you know, people in politics doing it. But, you know, in the military, you swear an oath to the Constitution. And here, you know, here, all of a sudden, you know, forced medication is what's not just to be, you know, accepted, but to be embraced. And if you don't go for it, you freedom fighters get in line. You know, I think there's a little bit of contradiction that if you're in the military or you're like, you know, in that age where you're 17, 16, something like that, and they're coming on strong, you know, it's hard because a lot of people don't know what they're going to do next, right? And, you know, the COVID noise is real loud too, but just recognize if it's this now and some other right later and some other right later. And then meanwhile, they're telling them, oh, you're fighting for freedom. You're defending the Constitution. Go over there and kill for interests, you know? So I don't know how to feel about it. In some ways, it'd be like, oh, I can get out of here without getting a dishonorable discharge. Where do I sign up? Oh, all I got to do is not take a shot. So I could see a positive. You could get out of the service just not taking that shot, you know?
That's one.
You might even have a dishonorable discharge, just have a general discharge. But then what? You're not going to get your educational benefits. You're not going to have an honorable discharge. People still, a general discharge, people are like, what? And, you know, so anyway, you're given a less than a fair shake on that, I think. And then other people would say, well, what, you know, you signed up. So, you know, I think
well, you know,
points of view.
The best thing for a military, of course, is to have a bunch of men potentially having myocarditis, you know, while going out there. That's just builds a strong military force, of course. I do want to give a brief update because I know we've been covering this the last couple months, really. Once Biden announced that they were going to have a mandate for businesses that had at least 100 employees, they were going to start saying by January 4th, you have to get the shots or you know, lose your job and your business.
Biden said they wouldn't mandate it, though. Didn't y'all hear?
Oh, they changed their minds, and the courts, the you know, of course, lawsuits happen. People from the different states as well as businesses have sued, and there's, I think, a dozen or more lawsuits going on. But a federal appeals court on Friday reaffirmed its earlier decision to freeze the Biden vaccine mandate, calling the requirement for large employers to make sure its employees are vaccinated, quote, staggeringly overbroad. And this was in a 22-page opinion, 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, and said that OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, you know, that they shouldn't have to follow it because it's fatally flawed, over-inclusive and under-inclusive. And then OSHA had announced that they were going to comply because the Biden government basically responded by this saying like, hey, ignore that, go forth with our plan and do it. And OSHA, I think they released a statement today themselves announcing like, we're going to comply with the courts. You know, we're not just going to do whatever Biden or whoever wants. And so that's just a little update for those who are seeing that play out. And of course, there's some people out there. I mean, I would imagine not many, but if this makes its way to KPFG, there might be some of them out there who believe that this is a good thing and think that businesses should enforce that. The nurses should be fired. But the whole thing that all that stuff is predicated on is this idea that the shots are safe and effective, right? And we know that increasingly that's not true. I mean, I did a report earlier today on Reuters has talked about that there are more and more people filing, even Reuters admitting they still call it rare and, you know, it doesn't happen that often and it's not that serious, but they acknowledge, hey, people are having adverse reactions and there's not much recourse for them. I also found this one, I'll just throw up real quick as just a note. Even in Australia, Australian mainstream news, Sydney Morning Herald, more than 10,000 Australians have filed coronavirus vaccine injury claims. And I'm sure there's more, but you also have to know that most people believe that the amount of people reporting, whether in the US or Australia, is vastly less than the actual injuries, because some people don't know how to report. In the US, the system, you have to get like your doctor to sign the thing to be able to file. I think it was in Canada, and they've had situations where doctors are like, I'm not touching that. I'm not going to help you file this paperwork. And the doctors are supposed to file something on their side too. Often they don't. So the numbers we see are probably greatly.
Do you think people might go, oh, this shot made me sick, I'm going to go back to the people who made me sick? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to think of this a minute, right?
I think most people probably don't report anything. You know, they probably.
That's what I'm saying. Who's going to go get this shot, get sick as hell, decide not to get the next ones, have ongoing new, you know, new complications? I think a lot of people won't go back, especially with the you know, we're talking about the presuppositions, right? Look how loud the media glasses, the rose-colored glasses, that everything's great if you take this shot. I think separate from the injuries that we're seeing, the effectiveness, I think it's widely understood that it is not. Remember, if you get this shot, then you're going to be safe from it. They were saying that stuff, you know? And now it's like, oh, you get the shot, you get a booster, you get another booster, you can still catch it. What the heck? You know, that's like...
Yeah, I think the booster thing is going to really be like the defining factor, because like that's when it's going to be obvious. That's when it's going to be obvious to people who just like really can just think a couple steps ahead. Like, okay, wait a second. Like, I'm not vaccinated anymore if I don't, because like they're already doing it to like the sports people. They're saying like, well, if you haven't like had your vaccine in so long, you got to start, you know, following this again. You got to get another booster. So, you know, I mean, it's just a matter of time until that starts rolling out. And then you're just like, well, I don't want to get like, you know, the fourth one.
And let me just show you this front page. Look at the front page of CNN right here. The definition of fully vaccinated is changing. Even they're having to kind of slide it in there. It's not a headline. It's like they're even putting it out there. Like they're so, yeah, people who are like, well, I wouldn't want to do it, but I complied because my job said so. Or I know people who had to do it to keep a relationship. Family members don't want to see them unless they're got the shot for holidays. So are they just going to keep expecting them to every 6 months? And here's the other question.
It's all that.
And are they the same people who are like, let's get a no fly list? Those are the same people who don't freaking realize, like, they don't, they get like three vaccines later when they don't want any more. Like, well, now you can't fly. And he's like, oh, shit, I promoted that, dude. Like, you know, it's just like, come on. Like, this is exactly what we were talking about when you have to think like ahead with, like, when you see the fact that other countries are already using the boosters, and that, you know, Fauci and all those other people talked about it months ago for old people, and we knew it was going to come later. And like, I don't know, it's crazy. Yeah. Now there's a COVID pill, and some people also hypothesize that they'll just be like, well, you either got to have like your vaccine or like approved immunity, or like you could have, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I want to kind of add to what you were just saying, Johnny, real quick, just to kind of move to the next story in the COVID thing here, is like you said, we've been able to predict what's happening over the last year on the show just by looking to other countries. Like Micah and I interviewed somebody in Italy back in March 2020 when this whole thing was starting, and we could already see that they were locking people down. You can only go walk your dog for like 5 minutes and not leave too far. And then we've seen, hey, they're starting to do proof of vaccination. Now you're seeing that pop up in parts of the US, right? I think the next trend that we're gonna see probably spread elsewhere is this lockdowns for the unvaccinated. For the unvaccinated right here, let me show you guys this one. Austrian police conduct random checks to enforce COVID lockdowns for the unvaccinated. Unvaccinated people who breach the lockdowns face fines of up to 500 euros or $567. And anyone who refuses to comply with vaccine status checks could be fined 1,450 euros. This restricts anyone over the age of 12 who has not had two doses of vaccines from leaving their houses for anything other than going to buy food and other, like, you know, kind of exempted things. But there's been pictures and videos floating around online on the internet already. And here's a picture right here, seeing these cops going around asking people to see their paperwork in freaking Austria, man.
You know how uncomfortable I get when a cop has to just randomly talk to me for any reason? And yeah, it's now I got one literally that is allowed to ask me where I'm going. That was bothered.
This is people, the people who are, if you're watching the video, these are folks having dinner here or whatever, and the cops are walking up. Okay, can we see your papers? And this article, at least somebody at the conversation wrote this article, Austria's lockdown for the unvaccinated. What do human rights laws say? And pretty much, guess what? They find a way to bend it and make it make sense. And hey, it's actually because of a pandemic, and, you know, you don't have rights, blah, blah, whatever, you know. So it's, I just wanted to throw that out there. I think that's the next thing that is going to be on the horizon for some countries, maybe even some states. The whole United States, probably not. That could take a while. There's resistance in different places. Maybe California, maybe San Francisco, maybe New York, some of those places. I don't think it's without reason, just because now you got Austria, Germany, the UK is talking about it now. Boris Johnson said the other day, lockdowns for the unvaccinated are on the table. Like, yeah, I think that's the next trend.
Well, I mean, it would just be the next natural step, maybe for the places that have already, like in New York, where they're like trying to enforce like the Green Pass, or basically the local Green Pass, whatever. What's it called again?
COVID. I can't remember what kind of pass.
Can't even remember whatever.
Italy does have the Green Pass.
They're
though,
trying to give you cheeseburgers for it.
Did you guys see the Green Pass? Just one other update on that. The Green Pass in Italy. They arrested several activists because they were involved with organizing the protests out there, organizing protests against the Green Pass. They went and raided their houses, and they're accusing them of, you know, having criminal histories and having whatever dangerous material. And, you know, who knows how much of that's true. But the point is, like, now they're raiding people's homes because they tracked them down in Telegram. And they said that they're some of the organizers of these protests. Like, they went in there. Now, of course, what they said was, people in the groups were organizing and talking about beheading Mario Draghi, the prime minister, who's a total like central bankster, like criminal anyways. But, you know, if you know how Telegram works, it's big groups. Anybody can come in there and say any dumb thing they want, and you can ban them or get rid of them. But I just, you know, I just imagine them doing something like that. They found a channel and somebody said something stupid. Oh, look, let's go get them. Find the people who are running the channel, raid their houses, scare them, you know.
Who said something stupid? One of the original traders?
Like, somebody log in there.
One of the infiltrators, yeah, could have been something stupid.
It could have just, they accused one of the activists that were one of the organizers of running a group where there was statements about beheading Mario Draghi or something like that. They never even say that.
Rocket Derek could just jump on Telegram and say something stupid.
Exactly. Exactly. That's my point. So it doesn't really, like, we'll see what the courts say, but that's just, you know, and sort of unrelated, but kind of related, guys. I don't know if you've...
Hey, I had a COVID thing real quick I wanted to
ask. Yeah, go for it, Michael.
I've been kind of being quiet about it. But I just wanted to ask y'all, I mean, I doubt it's anybody's favorite site, but the CDC site over there where it's got the transmission in New York by county, have you seen, like, all these counties, all these states where it's all open, the transmission rate is way down? What the heck? Think about that. Oh, I guess it's because they're in the South or something, the warmer weather. I don't know. But if you go to the CDC's website, I'll put the link up there.
Yeah, I'll put it up.
And I'll throw it in the private chat real quick. But yeah, so all of a sudden, like Florida, Texas, all these places down south here that have been open have a lower transmission rate than all the closed places. They're all red.
I was just talking to you about that, Micah, like how weird it is in Texas. Like, because, I mean, I don't want to keep using the word normal, but, like, it doesn't feel like a new normal in Texas. It feels basically business as usual. Like, I've not really been asked to wear a mask, like, pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that. See all that yellow? Like, that map gets bigger and has Florida and the rest of the – and see, Puerto Rico's all yellow. Go to Puerto Rico. But, yeah, look at that.
We're like the only people there.
I don't know why the East Coast is missing off that map. But
yeah, Johnny, do you remember back when a couple months ago when Dr. Hotez and the health authority, Dr. Peirce, they literally put out statements saying there's zero chance of you getting through the next couple weeks if you're unvaccinated without being
infected. That.
Dude, so when I interviewed Dr. Peirce last week, about a week and a half ago before leaving Houston, about the kids getting the shots, I brought that up to him. You guys can find this interview at theconsciousresistance.com. I asked him, and I quoted him directly. I said, in August, you said there's zero chance of the unvaccinated making it through the next couple weeks without getting sick or whatever. And I told him, but despite that, what you're talking about here, Micah, we're seeing all the numbers go down. Texas is
scrolling
outbreaks, you know. And, you know, basically I just asked him, like, specifically to respond to that. How do you feel about that? How do you think about that? And he tried to say, like, no, what I said still applies because it still spread, you know, which there's no evidence. I mean, like, there's no way to know that, right? Because they claim it's spreading, but we know that their tests are not reliable. We know that, you know, there's just so many flaws in it. But he pretty much was like, no, I still stand by my statements because people still got infected, even if we didn't see a massive outbreak. And I basically just told him, like, hey, I hang out with a lot of unvaccinated people. I don't see anybody, like, you know, having these major outbreaks of what's going on. And so, I don't know, I just think it's interesting, right? And even by their own numbers, right, Mike? Like, I wouldn't necessarily trust the CDC's numbers per se. But that's, even if we're going to go by their own numbers, they don't line up with what the BS they were feeding us last year.
No, look at even Harris County there. We're like yellow or light pink or something.
I mean, that's what I was trying to say.
The whole pink red.
I was trying to say earlier how weird it is. Like, the restrictions are still going on. Like, the now in Texas, it seems like the only people that have to wear masks are like kids and people in Uber rides.
Yeah. It's so crazy. The kids are just random
like stuff. You know, it's just like, but I was looking at the kids. I was like, so these kids could literally leave this building and go to a music festival without a mask on, come to school the next day. That you got to have your mask on to protect the teacher.
It's insane.
He's been vaccinated, likely. And they, now they want them to get vaccinated. So what? So then they can take the masks. I wonder if it's because they're not vaccinated. They're not of age to get vaccinated.
You think this thing was killing like
go to school with a mask on?
No. Yeah, it just doesn't even make any sense, even if you try to go by their stats and their numbers and their logic. Guys, you're listening to Freethinker Radio here. We're at 40 minutes in.
We'll do try you
to
think that's part of it? Reason. You don't go. You don't. It makes no sense, but you'll comply anyway. Think of that. It's not like even the old days where it could make sense if you thought this way and you became a this or a that and you thought that all this was evil or whatever. You could make an explanation for their narrative. Now, their own narrative, their own things they say. I'm a scientist and a doctor, but you have zero chance of surviving. I don't know how you're here today. He doesn't say that. He's like, oh, what I said was true. What the heck?
Yeah, there's so much that doesn't make sense about that narrative, and we'll try to continue to stay on it.
Like, and people still comply. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, do you think that could just be even a whole new sort of spiritual mind, bap, that, like, come on, people.
I think there's definitely deep levels of mind control going on. I mean, I think that's what it really comes down to, is that, like, some people are committed to the narrative. You were kind of saying this earlier, Micah, about, like, the cop thing and not highlighting Johnny Hurley's story because it doesn't fit in with the narrative they're already committed and bought into. And so they can't even, like, consider it. You know, those who do are like, wait, maybe this isn't what I was told, whether it's COVID or anything else, right? But at the end of the day, there is a vast amount of just propaganda that some people have bought into. I think there's also more people than ever questioning things, right? And Johnny was kind of saying it. The people who got to get the next booster and the next booster, people are starting to be like, what the heck? This doesn't make sense. Like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. So, I mean, I do think there are people questioning, but still, and I agree with you, Johnny, too, after traveling the country, things feel pretty normal, even in California, even in New York, even in Brooklyn, where you can't go inside anywhere without a shot.
People are still people. You know, like, the majority of America never really gave a crap. I don't think that's a good thing, though.
I don't think it's a good thing necessarily that people treat it like normal because, again, they're still announcing new measures. They're still announcing.
And that's what Micah was talking about. So they're like sliding in. So it's like they just went so hard. They pull it way back and you still like run into it every now and again. And that's like the way it goes because you're just like, oh, well, you know, if I like, for example, I was in the dentist today. It was the dumbest thing. I'm literally in the room with one person in there. She's wearing a mask. I'm going to be in this waiting room for no more than 5 minutes. She goes, do you have a mask? And I was like, no. She goes, here, take this one. I'm just like, do I really, what kind of argument do I really feel like having at like, you know, 7 a.m. before work at a dentist office for over a 5 minute interaction with the mask? I just let it hang off my ear or whatever. But I was just thinking to myself, like, what, like, how are you a dentist and just like being like, that makes sense. Get back here. Just open up as hard as you can. Breathe everything bloody and just let it go, man. In that waiting room with nobody in it, like mask. Logic, I don't know.
There's no logic to it. That's the thing, is right. There's no real logic. And I think that the sooner people can recognize, and this is what I've tried to do. This is why I haven't focused so much on like doing constant reporting on COVID, like, you know, Ryan and some other people at different channels. I'm glad they're out there doing that and calling out the lies because that, you know, needs to be done. But it's just at this point, and I realized last year, it's like, hey, here's these experts and here's their experts. And no matter anything I say, they're committed to believing only these experts, and nothing I say, you know, it doesn't mean I don't try, but I can see it's like, it just think, think. And now that we have the fact checkers and we got all this crap, like it's so much. While I do think there's more people questioning, I also think it's more difficult for somebody to go from just total normie believing everything to waking up, you know, where before you could be on YouTube watching dog videos and next thing you're watching conspiracy videos and next thing you're down the rabbit hole and your whole life has changed, right?
Good old really days. Anymore.
And now, like, you know, somebody like us tries to share something and they got a fat checker to tell them it's fake, or, you know, a little bubble to tell them, are you sure you want to share this? And, you know, all this whole ecosystem that is really
that
crazy.
Something I wish that I had time to go back and do. Because, like, all the people, all the great people who have been fact-checked in, like, the most egregious, weird ways. Like, you know, like, fact-checking a guy's comment on a post that you made, like, you know, a long time ago kind of fact-checks. Like, I would love for someone who has the time to, like, take, like, go back and, like, go ahead and, like, find all the ones that were just absolutely true and admitted by the same sources and just line them up in a nice video with music. Because I mean, like, you, Ben Swan, Ryan Christian, James Corbett, like, they've all said things that basically came true. And then we're like, never, I apologize for that.
Yeah, there's no apology. It's just keep moving on. Guys, I'm going to move into the next story. We're almost at an hour and I got to eat dinner. You know, this kind of ties in what we're talking about, though, with the crappy media, the way that they're treated. For those who've been following the sort of saga with the Project Veritas, which I believe is a journalistic outlet that does practice things like undergoing undercover, and many people have gone undercover before. You know, there's an attempt by the corporate media to paint them as, you know, less than bloggers or whatever you want to say, so that they can say the First Amendment doesn't apply to them, which, of course, you don't have to be pressed to have freedom of speech, you know, and to report on things. So that's the first lie. They're trying to make it seem like they only have the First Amendment if they're considered journalists. But if we can paint them as not journalists, then they don't deserve that protection. And so what's basically going on is, in the last week or so, James O'Keefe, founder of Project Veritas, reported, he put out a video on YouTube and his website saying that FBI agents had raided his home and the home of some other members of his team and had taken their cell phones and other kind of internal documents. And it was basically, the accusation was that they might have stolen a library of Joe Biden's daughter, Ashley Biden, and this is the interesting part. Project Veritas had said that they'd received the diary like a year or two ago, whenever this story was around, and they reviewed it, but they couldn't verify its authenticity. So they decided not to even publish it. So they never even published it. Somebody else published it somewhere else on the internet. The story came and went. This was a couple of years ago. All of a sudden, the FBI is coming to raid their house and literally take their cell phones and their computers to review evidence and see if they had, you know, were involved in some criminal activity. And that literally happened. And before James O'Keefe could even put the video out to talk about it, the New York Times reported on it. And it's now started to call into question about whether or not the FBI is leaking private data to the New York Times. So think about that. The FBI comes in, takes your computers and your phones, says they're going to look into your stuff. James O'Keefe said, hey, I have private sources on there for my work. They don't care. They take it. And then before you know it, the New York Times has the story and is reporting on it. And everybody's like, okay, how did that happen? Did, you know, somebody, just a source, shared it, or is the FBI working directly with the New York Times? And that's kind of where things have been now. You have a tweet from lawyer and Human Events co-publisher Will Chamberlain, who said the FBI raided Project Veritas on a pretext and is now leaking their privileged communications to the New York Times. This is a scandal. Even the ACLU, who definitely is not, you know, in favor of Project Veritas and called them right wing and this and that, they even put out a statement saying, like, hey, this is pretty dangerous. I'm going to show a couple other articles just to kind of give an example of how the New York Times is treating this whole story. Like, to me, and I saw journalist Glenn Greenwald do a really good report on the danger of this. But to me, it's really scary to see this happening. So here's Project Veritas. Project Veritas tells the judge it was assured Biden diary was legally obtained, but a search warrant in the case suggests the Justice Department believes the diary kept by the president's daughter was stolen. There's no evidence that they had anything to do with the theft of it if it was stolen. And in fact, from a journalistic standpoint, you don't necessarily ask your sources where they get their information. If somebody went and stole some information and I have no knowledge of that, or even if I do have knowledge of that, that's really nothing to do with me. If they choose to transfer that to me, you know, some might say, I'm not going to publish it because they know it's stolen. But if it's accurate information, that's how some of the biggest stories have been broken, including the WikiLeaks, you know, Bradley Manning, Chelsea Manning leaking stuff to WikiLeaks in America and the world finding out about the military killing innocent people. Like, that's just how it happens sometimes. But they're going to extreme lengths to try to paint them as non-journalists. Here's this one. New York Times, Project Veritas, and the line between journalism and political spying. Documents show how the conservative group worked with lawyers to gauge how far its deceptive reporting practices could go before running afoul of federal laws. And they try to make it sound all dangerous, but essentially they're doing what every other mainstream and even independent journalist outlets do, which is counsel with lawyers to say, hey, do we have legal standing to publish these documents? Are we okay to do this investigation and to try to make sure that they're not breaking any laws? It's something that all mainstream outlets have done, but they're basically trying to say, look, here's these secret documents, which again, maybe they're violating laws on client lawyer privilege because they're literally releasing conversations that Project Veritas had with their own attorneys. So, I mean, I don't know what the legal standing on it is, but anyways, my point with all this is really troublesome stuff in regards to press freedom in the US. And of course, like usual, they try to do something, with like using an outlet like Project Veritas that they can say is right wing, or they're not even journalists, right? They just go undercover and they do secret videos and they're all fake and whatever else, so that people don't have sympathy if they treat them this way, you know. But it's definitely a bad direction. What do you think about that, Micah? Have you seen any of that yet?
It's obviously a pretty scary direction. I mean, yeah, this whole aspect of leaking documents to the Times, I don't know whether that's happening or not. I wouldn't be surprised if it were, and I wouldn't be surprised if they felt justified that they could do that from a legal position nowadays, right? You know, I mean, seamless integration of the message, right?
Yeah, it's unfortunately not surprising, but it is disturbing, right? It's just like, wow, we're really moving in that direction. FBI raiding the homes of journalists and the corporate media trying to assist the intelligence community by painting them negatively in the light of public opinion, you know, in the court of public opinion.
And then they can get that file cabinet, you know, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, they're coming in behind them with the cameras. They're like, hey, we're going to go raid these guys. They're coming in behind them with the cameras. Eventually it's all happening live. You know, you're watching it happen to yourself. And, you know, they're taking your sources and then they're spilling the beans about everything you have in your journal, whether it's Biden's daughter or Project Veritas's files. You see what I'm saying here? I mean, where's the end of the theft of people's information? You know, meanwhile, what do we start with? The CIA and having the exactly. Information awareness. Like, think about what we're talking about here. It's all the same thing.
Do you want to say something, Johnny?
I was just saying, what a weird thing that is, like the president's daughter's diary.
Yeah, and I don't even think there was
anything. I wouldn't imagine it would be that interesting.
No, there wasn't anything explosive.
School today, people made fun of me because Biden's my dad.
Hunter got in trouble again. Hunter's fires.
She has your diary. My dad won't stop sniffing me.
I saw my dad sniffing more kids. Oh, God, please. Somebody help
I'm not having any more sleepovers.
There wasn't anything groundbreaking in that diary at all. That's why it's kind of inconsequential. And it seems more like the Biden administration going after these people because they've been breaking stories, man, over the last year about Facebook, about all sorts of stuff. They've been doing a good job. And I just want to mention this one title. It pretty much says it all. We don't really have to get into the details. But, you know, when we're talking about you got independent outlets being raided by the FBI, you got people being demonized and censored for talking truths about COVID. And then to counter that, we have Mint Press News doing just basically a search of all the grants in the Gates Foundation database and finding that they've donated $319 million to a whole laundry list of mainstream media outlets. And that's why I think this is important, right, is because while they're censoring or going after people, you got the Gates Foundation, which is also the largest funder of the World Health Organization and so many other health bodies around the world. And then they are funding the media, which the media is calling anybody who questions those institutions crazy and conspiracy theories. Like, it's not hard to see what's happening here. And it's not just Bill Gates, but this is important to see because how big the Gates Foundation is in global health and with what we're facing right now.
Yeah, and that's not even counting any sort of advertising funds from any of the various, you know, branches.
Yeah,
of
like big empire. Pharma advertisements and everything like that.
Yeah, Microsoft back in the day.
Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, Michael, that's one of the reasons I wanted to play that clip with Frank Church in the beginning, is just because this has been going on for 50 years, guys. I mean, they've got mass control of the media now. Now they're getting the monopolizing of the internet. And next they want to take you to the metaverse. You think it's going to be any more free in the metaverse if it's being run by these same companies, Google, Facebook, et cetera, else, or China? You think they're going to have, you know, freedom for you in there? Or it's going to be, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be freedom. I don't know what it is, but
that's going to be it. In there, says it all.
We're in the prequel. We're in the prequel to the Matrix right now, basically.
Yeah, dude. It literally is. We're gonna be like the old guy at the beginning of when the stuff is really happening, and then you get out of there, and you're like, I've been reporting on this for 23 years.
Yeah, the metaverse.
Not that long.
All this stuff is so weird.
It'll be like the people who took the shots or whatever. You won't have any recourse because you chose to lay down and put those glasses on and spend 60 years of your life in this thing that was just imaginarium the whole time. And you get out and you're like, whoa, real is so much realer.
I think what's going to end up happening is there's going to, at some point of the metaverse being out, there's going to be a serious discussion in culture over what reality really is. You know what I mean? Like, if I am a purple dragon, in fact.
Now you're getting it. I mean, this is the truth. This is what
I mean. I'm not kidding. It's going to be a serious conversation.
That's one of the most serious discussions that's been going on through human history. It's the birth of philosophy, right? It's metaphysics. It might be a good thing if people start asking that for a change.
Yeah, but they've never had that option.
We're going to recreate not us. I mean, maybe if it gets down, if it stays decentralized, right, then you could have Johnny has his own little decentralized verse that you can come join and hang out and it's free and this and that, and there will be the mainstream metaverse with all their crap and whatever else. But that's the idea, is that at the least, if things are to stay decentralized in some way, just like with the internet, there's not one internet
boonies of the metaverse, and
you like hang out with the
planting carrots with our donkeys and stuff.
Or maybe there's no reason to even go in there, right? We just choose to stay out here. But I do think, I was having this conversation earlier, I mean, you think about this, like if we had chosen to say, well, the internet and social media, we know that DARPA's involved in the intelligence community, so I'm not even going to play with their tool. I'm backing away from it. Well, then we would have ceded the whole internet to them, and they would have just taken over, and there would be no movement as there is now. And I don't know, like, because I'm sure there's going to be podcasts on the metaverse. There's going to be people who are going to be broadcasting their virtual selves on the metaverse and reaching people. And it's like, should we not try to reach people that way? I don't know. It's kind of creepy. I don't want to get used to that reality. And then,
Derek's already making excuses, Micah. He's going to get on the metaverse. I gotta wake him up. Take off the glasses, man.
I'm not done yet.
It's just one of these things that we see the power of a tool and the power of an amusement / entertainment tool. You know, like even television versus, you know, the power television. Think about the beginning of TV and all these silly ass shows that they've had come out through all these decades, and how much more information they could have had, or art come out. You get what I mean? It's like just another tool. It's just, what are we going to do with this? Are we going to just watch stupid sitcoms? Are we going to watch some, you know, something informative? Are we going to use it to make some art?
Yeah, it's all about that, right? We get to decide. We're winding down here, Michael. You want to hit those last couple of economic stories? I'll get.
I guess we can. I think they're
important enough. They seem like a couple that are important to mention.
Get up that. Pull something up there.
Here's the private prison one. Let's start there.
Yeah, that's an important one. And I think we can get to that one quickly. You know, we always ask the proper role of government. I've always had a uneasy feeling about the private prison. I don't want, you know, obviously there's some people that people more comfortable if they're put away, for lack of a better phrase, or the rest of society is away from them. And those people will often end up in prison. So I would say that there's a good number of people that people feel like they have to put them away to be safe from. Now, whose job that is, I'm not exactly sure. It bothers me in a way that the private prison thing seems to just advance the idea of getting more prisoners. But this is even horrible. It talks about here how this one prison company, the GEO Group, they're a huge prison company. You got to ask yourself, what are all these different mutual funds investing in if you have money in these things? Because you could be backing something like this. So it turns out this is one of the largest private prison group companies. They're on the hook for basically a lawsuit for a whole bunch of money, because they, rather than hiring anybody from the community to do any work there, they basically press the inmates in the service, more or less, even offering them more food. You can have more food if you scrub all the crappers. you know, and they would work with it for $1 a day. So think about this. This is a profitable for prison profit, right? They're out there. It's in their interest to put people in these cages and pay them $1 a day. Do y'all see a problem with where that could lead to? I mean, I'm like, oh my God.
No, that sounds perfectly fine, man.
Yeah, you know, and so then it goes on, and it turns out so that the federal jury decided Wednesday that the company must actually pay minimum wage to the detainees working, and there's a lawsuit looking for, you know, back wages for all the time of different people that basically were stuck in there making $1 a day, maybe get some extra vittles.
Yeah, it's so crazy though, man. I as somebody who's been locked up and for a brief period of time, like a lot of people really have no sympathy for prisoners. They just sort of like, and I think it's less and less people, but there's still that type of mindset that's like, well, if they ended up in prison, they must have done something wrong. And so who cares if they're basically slaves, and who cares if they're eating crappy food or just being suffering through whatever conditions, right? And I appreciate you bringing that story up there, because I think the private prisons, while some see that as a solution in the long term, like in a world without government, the way it is at the moment is definitely not anything that I think that I would personally advocate or want to support. I mean, because like that one was saying, talking about for-profit immigration centers, right? So people get caught with immigration violations.
Well, they're run by the same company, the ICE centers, basically another prison.
Exactly. So they're holding them, and then they're getting like cheap, free, I mean, pretty much free, like slave labor.
They're coming here for a better life and going to work for $1 a day.
Jeez. I mean, that would cost like $300 a day for 300 employees, dude.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You could think how much you could turn out.
You could reap massive profits. Well, let's jump into this next one with Jerome Powell, Micah.
Yeah, I thought this was kind of interesting. You know how we talk about presidents just being the fall guy? Why shouldn't the president of the Fed just be the fall guy for the statist economy, right? Check it out. They talk about his quick response to the pandemic saved the economy. I think there's a lot of questions, right? Economy is a politically loaded word. We'd like to think it's just this simple thing, like you want, you know, some corn and I have it and you've got green beans, we just trade. But it's much more complicated and sophisticated, and we know that, right? So we saw, and if you roll down a little bit, we saw at the beginning of the pandemic where they started purchasing bonds and doing all this crazy stuff. And I think the main reason I wanted to get into this story is just because of what they do. And if it's a little bit further down, they talk about buying $125 billion worth of bonds. I guess somehow you got to open it or whatever. I don't know. But nonetheless, I can pretty much talk about it. And I think the headline does cover them. I can come back and forth to that. The point on it is, so he does all these unorthodox moves, even for the Fed, buying up stocks. You know, here it is, the Federal Reserve buying bonds over all the time, $125 billion a day, and they're calling this save the economy. Let's talk about save the economy. Do y'all remember us talking about the businesses that went under? You know, Luby's having to be bought up.
I didn't even know the mainstream was claiming the economy had been saved, because there's like record inflation, there's people out of jobs. Like, you know, what are they
talking about? They say anything. It doesn't have to be consistent anymore. It's just got to be one story that sort of pushes something, right? So here, because so indirectly, they're saying all these actions of the Fed, not really Jerome Powell. This is the story, you know, in the story. It's these actions of the Fed saved the economy. But now inflation's starting to rise. Why? $125 billion a day being printed and put into bonds. That might have something to do with it. The PPP loan program, that might have something to do with it. The everything being shut down and businesses going out of, you know, out of business, that might have had something to do with it. Whatever. Nonetheless, well, there's inflation, so now he'll be a fall guy. You know, like, you see what I mean? Like, president's just replaceable fall guy. That's their role, right? Come in. Back up this. Why should the president of the Fed be any different than a president of the United States?
And why should this guy even be upset if he loses his job?
He's not. He's rich. And the companies
he had. That's what I'm saying. Wouldn't that be just like good? Retire early. Like,
probably. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I just think I think it's another one of those chances to put forth. Like, there's this mainstream economy that they put out on us that is nothing like what we're taught that we have. And it's nothing like the natural economy that we would think exists. You know, it's a top-down feeding trough economy. Money's not introduced except as debt. and they buy up whatever's there. That's not the same as you digging into the ground and pulling up something, and I agree to work for that thing you pulled up, or you make something. No, it's we all have to line up at the trough or someone who was at the trough and get feeding from them, like in that story we talked about, where even the articles are talking about go invest in these state-funded court companies. And I don't know, you know, meanwhile, we got people saying, oh, we live in such a horrible capitalist society. I was going to say earlier, maybe good things happen. Like, think about it. In Stalinistic Russia, in North Korea, in Hitler's Germany, birthday parties still went on. And that's what I'm saying. This is what like we were talking about earlier, Johnny. Birthday parties still go on. Life goes on, you know. And so they get away with it incrementally. And we're just at such a stage now that it's hardly anything that to seem logical, consistent, or real.
I wish they'd go back to 2020 and rush things again, because it seems to help our cause. But I think they've gone back to going incrementally again. Guys, that's going to be it for us today. We appreciate all the comments over on DLive and those on Odyssey and Float. And, of course, those of you who are still on Facebook, we appreciate that. You can find our work at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. We post the archives on The Conscious Resistance on Spotify, and we are still broadcasting on KPFT in Houston. We'll be back next week with some more important uncensored news and underground music. I'm going to end the show, guys, with the latest version of my song, Same Mother. I think I played the old version a while back, but any closing thoughts before we get out of here?
I love you guys. It's good to do the show with you all again.
Yeah, happy to be here. Keep living life, be free, but don't forget that crazy stuff is happening and you got to resist, right? I mean, at this point, you're either going to get locked down because you're unvaccinated, or you're going to move, or you're going to push back. You know,
it's right here, though. Freedom's right here. So it's in your hands. You can do something. You can be more free than they want you to believe you can be. I tell you that right now. That much is true. Thanks for all the love, everyone.
More free. Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, we'll be back next week. This song is called Letters to Myself. It's from my EP. It's called Same Mother, from my EP Letters to Myself. You can find it at soundcloud.com/33 is here. And we'll be back next week. Peace, guys.
33. If there's a message to this song, it's that we all come from the same place, and we're only hurting ourselves when we hurt each other. So let's do this. I'm the new hip-hop king waiting to be crowned. Another election passes and you're still voting on clowns. You think you made a difference, but you're a fake resistance. Keep voting for evil and you might get sick. How many times must we play this game? They're washing our brains, they're watching us kill ourselves. We're under siege, and I don't mean to offend, but if you hate free speech, you can get fucked. You can get fucked with the rest of the mob and all those who treat politicians like gods. You need to wake up, join the fight against evil. And I don't mean Trump or the average people. I'm talking about the hidden hand, the deep state, the ones you don't see who are robbing from your plate. The banksters, gangsters, murderers, and mobsters were being ruled by psychopathic monsters. The pedos in the Vatican are doing it again. The CIA, the NSA, and the Zionist clan. They got the plan to keep you trapped in fear. Can't you see, my friends, the Great Reset is here. And I'm not talking about some rich man's plan. I'm saying we can manifest the promised land. If we stop hating and killing each other, maybe we'll see that we have the same mother. We come from the same place. We are the same. We are one. I should slow down before I scare you away. I don't want to lose you before you hear what I have to say. I ain't got no diamonds, I ain't got no drip. All I got's my body, soul, and tribe I roll with. Only thing I do is spit the truth and bend reality. It's a neat trick, manifest and you'll see. Anything you want, you can have health or wealth. It's time to wake up and love yourself. Love yourself, release the demons you befriended. They're gonna hold you down, man, it's an early ending. I promise you, we deserve better than we sing. It's up to us to overcome and create our dreams. I've been to the bottom, met my demons and fought them. Hiding from my trauma, man, drugs, I got them. Bury my pain in dope till I can't stand up. I might be puking, but keep pouring in my cup. But that wasted life is just a waste of life. We need to wake up and see we are made of light. I know in my heart, we're here for a purpose. I can see the truth rising to the surface. Don't you see it? The future's in our hands. It's time to find out where everyone stands. If we stop hating and killing each other, maybe we'll see that we have the same mother. Have the same mother. Your life has purpose.